Welcome to the 8th episode of the Let's Talk It Out podcast. I'm Alec Lifshultz, a.k.a. Trey Busy. Every week we get together at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Pacific Time, and we talk about mental health issues and stigmas, and we give each other help and advice. I like to get everybody together in the chat room, listen to guys' feedback, and if you're not able to listen to the chat room, we always make the podcast available to you through Apple Podcasts and through the Podbean app, or wherever you get your podcasts from. So today, I would like to, before I get going, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in last week. If you tuned in last week, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to sit down and just listen to me talk for an hour. And if you haven't tuned in last week, the episodes are available to you, like I said, through the Apple Podcasts, Bears Ballroom Radio Network, or through Podbean. And with that being said, I'd like to go ahead and read an excerpt that I've been looking at. It's been something that's been on my mind for a while. So the defensive lineman that plays for San Francisco 49ers named Solomon Thomas, he has a sister named Ella. And he wrote a story about her saying, you know, she had a big heart. She loved everyone. She was his younger sister. She had a bad experience when she went away to college. She ended up getting raped in a fraternity house. And this story is specific, especially sad because of that, she developed depression and anxiety. And she felt like she could never escape that situation in her life. Like, she always felt like she would never be the same person and never be whole from that. Ultimately, Ella ended up taking her own life. She ended up committing suicide because of this. And it's really sad because there's a lot of people around us that are going through the same type of battles every day, every week, and we don't really realize it because they don't feel open enough to tell us. They're nervous. They feel like they'll get judged for saying something to somebody about their thoughts and about their feelings about the topic or about their, you know, just in general. So, I mean, the signs are there most of the time, man. Like, they have subtle ways of letting you know that they're dealing with suicide. Before I go too far into it, I want to say that I'm not alone tonight. I like to say that I have a special guest with me tonight, Justin Atkinson. Justin Atkinson is an advocate for suicide awareness. So I don't want to talk about him too much. I'm going to let him talk for himself. Justin, go ahead and tell people a little bit about yourself.
What's going on tonight? Yeah, suicide is very prevalent to my life story. I attempted, three times this past year?
And it was scary,
because being alone with your thoughts is one of the scariest places to be.
Justin, sorry to cut you off, man, but you were brave enough to be able to come on and just be my guest tonight, but also be able to talk about a little bit about your battle. And a lot of people that actually deal with suicidal thoughts are very afraid to open up and say exactly what's going on with them because they feel like they'll be judged. And what I told you when I approached you to come on tonight, I said, Justin, I want you to come on tonight because I feel like you'll be able to come on and also save people's lives just by giving your story. You sent me some writing excerpts that I've shared on previous shows. You sent me several, man. I mean, I read them. I haven't read all of them on the show, but I have read them. So I really do appreciate that.
I appreciate you sharing them.
So again, tonight's topic is going to be suicide awareness. It's a topic that's definitely not touched on a lot. It's a very sensitive topic because, again, a lot of people are afraid to mention it, that they're even dealing with these type of thoughts for whatever reason. Oh, man. So, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and dive into what the stigmas are around the topic, how the topic is viewed in the community. And one of the things that I really thought was that people feel like they're looked down upon for feeling a certain way, for feeling these thoughts. They feel like that they are going to be judged and, you know, I don't know, like shunned out of their family. Their friends aren't going to really want to hang around them. They're always going to look at them differently. I'm going to ask Justin to go ahead and give his little perspective on this.
I never opened up about it to anyone. Well, I did, but that was a toxic relationship. I just ran into drugs. It wasn't taken serious for me until I was actually hospitalized and I had my first overdose. And I don't know if I was in a coma after or if I just took that many drugs and I was out for that many days. But I woke up and then a week later I did the same thing.
Just impulse, no plan.
Just impulse, no plan, no nothing. It just happened. And then I was like, okay, this is real. Something's going on that I haven't been aware of or haven't taken seriously. And I noticed that people, they support you when you're in the negative, but when you're actually getting help in that, they push themselves away. It's like they stop identifying with your suffering.
Okay.
And like a lot of people talk about suicide and they're suicidal and that, but they're not really. So when people mention it, people act like they're saying it for attention or This is a tough topic.
This is a very tough topic, man. And again, like I would like to say that you're very brave for being able to come on and take the time out of your day just to be able to have this conversation with me tonight and get these people the information that they wouldn't get from anywhere else. So there's not many shows out there where people will come and just sit down and have a conversation about suicide. I don't think I've ever could recall me like just turning on something and hearing it.
No, it's scary. It's a scary world, especially depression. And like people say others are selfish, but I look at suicide as the final symptom of depression. There's no other option, right?
That's what they say, that there's no other option, but there are definitely other options.
Oh, there is, definitely. Like, I learned personally. Well, like Kendrick says, it was always me versus world until I found it's me versus me.
That was a very deep line. Not everybody caught that line, though, when he said that. Kendrick Lamar said that, by the way. The best rapper in the game. But we're not going to go there. We're going to stick...
No, that's a whole nother topic.
We're going to stick straight to the suicide conversation tonight. So, Justin, I want to dive into, like, how do you feel? Like, even about coming on tonight to have this conversation, how do you feel tonight? You have people in the chat room saying they're behind you, and they thank you for sharing, and it's brave of you to even come on.
No, I'm humbled to be on here. I appreciate the support and love. The least I could do is share my story, right? My own experiences. It'd be selfish if I didn't.
CB fan wants to know, how did you get over your depression? And I wanna go ahead and say something first. Like, for me personally, like... Sometimes even with the show, running the show, I get like a feeling of, and we're going to be completely honest as usual, because it wouldn't be real for me not to keep it 100 with you guys, because that's the whole purpose of the show. For me personally, I sometimes, like I get a feeling of like this, even today, I don't know if it was the devil trying to attack me, I don't know what it was, but it was like a feeling of numbness, feeling like, I felt kind of like the show was I wasn't as fired up as I have been today. Like, it was like a feeling of just like, whatever, like it, but that, I know that that was something trying to tell me to discourage me from being able to come on tonight and have this conversation. And this conversation is very necessary because, again, this conversation can save people's lives. This conversation can let people know that there are people out there that relate to you and are dealing with the same exact things. I did not let that fucking feeling sit in me. I told myself, like, no, I'm not going to feel that way because this is a very, very important conversation that we need to have and I need to be fired up about it. So I did not let that shit sit like that.
You can't let it sit. I've learned the second you speak something out loud, it doesn't have power over me anymore.
Every time.
But to touch up. To touch on the depression thing, I haven't beat it. The past couple of weeks, it's been kicking my ass, to be honest. That's why I said yes to the show, to get on myself. But I know I can take control of it now. It's like I embrace that darkness because I know it's a chance to grow. to learn.
It's a chance for people to see that there's someone that's dealing with the same exact thing that they're dealing with. Someone who's out there who you are honest, you are dealing with it right now as we speak. And like I said, man, I told you I was there for you. If you ever felt like you need to have a conversation, if you need someone to reach out to, and you could speak from just experience that's 100% true. Because I am a pretty busy guy, but even then, I still make time to respond to people when they send me messages. I make time to respond to people when I get emails, phone calls. If I don't answer, I try to call back as soon as I can. But most of the time, I do answer. I reached out to check on you, man. Even like you said, you're dealing with it. I still check on people.
Oh, I always check on people, and people know they can reach out to me. That's one thing I'm so grateful for, that people know they can reach out for me, because they're helping me more than I can ever help them. It's a humbling experience when people know they can be vulnerable and transparent with you.
So I wanted to ask you real quick, Justin, what's some stigmas around a topic that you would like to discuss? Because I remember we talked about it briefly recently, and I just wanted you to go ahead and give the guests some of the conversation that me and you had.
One stigma is when you're actually, if you've ever been apprehended or you've been hospitalized, is the way you're treated by professionals. They don't listen to you. I find a lot of the
professionals don't listen to you.
Yes, and I don't know if it, because I don't know if it's so busy and like people are in and out like crazy, or
it could be it could be a lot of things. Like I've had a therapist before, and I do seek therapy, but a former therapist of mine, for reasons like they were obnoxious and felt like they was full of themselves. When I would go to see them weekly, I would feel like I'm being ignored. Like when I'm talking to them, it seemed like that they were just, and it's how I could tell they weren't really 100% like into what I was saying. Like every time I gave a story about what I felt or what was going on with me, they were always related to something about their day or some shit like that. Like I'm not here to fucking talk about you. I'm here to lay it off. What's going on with me? What's going on with my feelings? Why do I feel a certain way? And I'm gonna stop myself. Dan Phil in the chat room says depression isn't really something you can 100% get over. It is possible, but it's something that we have to learn to manage and handle, and ways to think about the other positive things going on in your life. So one thing I tell people all the time is, they ask me, how did I get over anxiety? And I tell them I never got over it. I have a lid on it because I figured out how to manage it. I haven't gotten over it. Like you said, you don't 100% get over something. It's not like you're going to go to a fucking mountain somewhere and become a monk and I don't know, fucking meditate all fucking day, and then all of a sudden you're going to come back to the real world and just be a happy, well-adjusted person out of nowhere. That's not how it works, unfortunately.
No, and another thing is, I've realized I'm not my depression or any of my anxieties I have. Listen, I'm not the label, right? I'm a human like everyone else. So once I stopped identifying with them, it got a lot easier to deal with. Because like once you take on that label, it starts to control you.
We got people in the chat room. They're asking about your personal life. I have someone ask, do you seek therapy? And another person it's the same person, CB fan, says, what does Justin do to keep a lid on his depression?
Action. I have to be active, or not active to stay busy and just ignore it. But I have like things I do. Like even if it's just getting out of bed and showering or wiping the crumbs off my bed that day. It's something, right? Because those little blocks, they add up eventually. And you remember, oh yeah, I did that. I can do it again today. I can do something more. But yeah, I've done therapy. I've been on meds. Meds don't work for me. They send me into a manic state, which led to my last overdose. And therapy's hard. I find group therapy is more.
You said therapy is hard. Well, I've always, we only 8 episodes in, but one thing I've always reiterated is I feel like meds don't help at all. Like, your brain is a very powerful tool, so whatever doses that they recommend you to take, eventually you become used to it, and it doesn't do the same thing for you. So now you feel like you need more, and all of a sudden now you have a drug addiction and you're dealing with depression at the same fucking time.
Yes, but a lot of the times meds do work for some people, but personally, not for me. I ran through like all of them during my hospital stay. Like, I have a list, and none of them work for me. But if you need them, take them. I look at them as a Kickstarter to your recovery. Not something to be permanently on, but I know people who are, and they work for them, right? Not everyone's the same. And not all therapy is going to work for people. And it takes a while to find the right therapist or specialist to connect with.
Yeah, yes, it does, because throughout my life, man, I promise you, I've seen quite a few therapists, and it's really hard to find someone that you feel like is 100% genuine and to, like, actually listening to you. Like, you want someone to make you have, like, a feeling of comfort, a feeling of openness, like, this person actually cares about what you're saying, and they actually give feedback. They actually remember things that you told them, you know, like, you could just, like, people, that's one thing, like, people don't tell things they don't give people their story. They don't give people how they're feeling, tell them how they're feeling, because they feel like once they start doing that, and this person doesn't really care. But if someone does care, then, you know, that's why I say you find a good therapist is very important. You have to find the right one that fits what you need.
Yeah, and it's like, I look at, if I'm going through something, I look at the pain as opportunity, right? Like, if we're suffering in this depression, we're obviously not afraid of pain. So why not take that first step forward? And once you take that first step forward, even if it's a baby step, a crawl, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's like a sense of purity knowing that maybe it's going to be fucking okay.
The first step, man, is the most important one. The first step is the most important one.
Oh, earlier. Early recovery is the hardest thing I've ever been through.
I want to ask you something, Justin, before we go too far. Want to know how you feel when they say people use it to draw attention. Like, they say that they're going to commit suicide for attention. Like, they're not really serious about it. They say, oh, you just want attention from people. Like, how does that make you feel like it? And have you ever met anybody that actually does that?
Oh, being in the hospital, yes. I came. There's a lot of people that abuse the system, but I'm not going to get into all that. That would frustrate me too much. But people who say that, who haven't even listened to the person, is just pure ignorance, right? Like, how are you that full of yourself to not even take someone's life seriously enough to listen for a minute?
Well, with that being the case, I mean, I don't want you to be frustrated, obviously, but still, no, like just give me a little bit, man. Like, I don't want you to get too frustrated. Like, if you have like a little story or something, it's just, you know, you have more experience than I would, you know, so. If not, then that's cool too. If that's it, you all right, man?
Cause I,
you good?
Oh yeah, I'm fine. Oh yeah, no, cause like people do reach out to me and they are suicidal, or they say they are, and I don't want that on my conscience, so I have called 911 on them. And if it's not serious, it's going to be a wake up call to how serious the topic actually is.
And sometimes people, like, they don't. Social media is a very strange place. Like, sometimes people give subtle hints that there's something going on with them. Like, they'll say some shit like, man, things just don't feel the same like how they used to. Like, that's like a very vague statement. But to me, being able to, like, see context clues, like, that kind of seems like somebody's, like, that's like a cry out for help. You know, or someone would say something like, I just don't feel like myself lately, you know, something like that. And like I said, it does sound kind of vague, but that can also be a cry out for help from someone saying, hey, you know, they're feeling depressed. They're very depressed right now, and they don't know, they don't have an answer to solve it. They feel like they're alone. So my mom says people get desensitized after being in the field a long time. Dan says it's the little things that keep you motivated and keep you on pushing. It's actually the same thing that they teach in the military with waking your bed first thing in the morning and doing it right. That's the first step.
Yo, that is so huge because it's true. Because you, even if you had a shit day, you're going home and your bed's made. You remember you accomplished something, right?
I tell you what, man, I do make my bed every morning, but like it's nothing like coming home to a freshly made bed. You are absolutely correct. You'd be like, okay, you know, you come home, you know, try to take a nap after work. It don't feel the same. You come home, your bed's not made, but when it's made, you just feel like you want to just pounce right into it.
Yeah, and like if I'm really feeling depressed, I will make my bed, so I won't go back into it.
I got CBF fan said, how did your family or friends react to your attempted suicide?
My mom was the only one who visited me in the hospital. She was there like every day, but my dad was away on vacation in Australia, so he couldn't. But I my friends were there for me the whole way. I'm so grateful for that. I thank them continuously to this day. Because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I probably would have gave up a while ago. They saved my life just by calling 911 the one night.
Man, I'm grateful you're here too, man. Like I set out literally, and I had this conversation with a few people when I first had the idea of the show. My first goal was to save as many lives as possible, reach out to people that feel like that they're alone and let them know that they're not alone, that there are people that are dealing with the same exact thing that they're dealing with. Because I've said before, I've dealt with depression. I didn't even realize it was depression because I was ignorant to it. It would be times where I'm out with something with friends or family and we're having an event, and I'll just like pull to myself to a little bit. Like I'll literally just, you know, sit down somewhere and everybody else having a good time and just sitting there kind of quiet. They'd be like, what's going on with you? I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm just, you know, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm just, you know, sitting here chilling, not realizing what's really going on with me. So, again, that's why I'm really big about it. A lot of people, some people have been diagnosed and they know that they're dealing with it, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know what they're dealing with. They don't know what the signs and symptoms are and what they can lead to, because people that are depressed a lot of times do lean towards committing suicide because they feel like there's no way for them to escape it.
No, or they find an escape in like drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, whatever you want to do. But I was the same. I was ignorant to my mental health up until this past year. I thought everyone dealt with the same shit, right? But no.
Man, and Justin, you told me you're 29 years old. It took you, you know, 29 years to realize what was really going on. You know, it's just thinking about it. Like, even with me, like, I'm 28, about to be 29. Like, hell, I wish I knew what I knew now when I was, like, 20, 19 years old and I'm having anxiety attacks, but I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. I think my heart's about to shut down. I didn't realize I was having anxiety attacks back then.
No, like, I used to crawl up into balls, like a ball before going to school, and I wanted to pretend I was sick so I didn't have to deal with the anxiety all day. But I just thought that was a normal thing that everyone dealt with.
No, we were all ignorant, man. But again, like, I want to bring light to these topics, and I want people to be able to know certain signs and symptoms from family members and friends that are pulling themselves away from everybody, and they're going into hiding. Emotionally and mentally, they're going away. Like, they're around you guys, they're not acting the same, or they're making up excuses for reasons why they can't be around. You know, you have a girlfriend that always, or, you know, one of your homies, they always want to go out. Then all of a sudden, it's like they just want to, you know, they kind of want to stick to themselves. They're not around like how they used to be. The signs are always there. You don't realize them until people give you the idea. You just be like, you start thinking, like, oh, maybe they're just busy. But this is someone who's always been a certain way, but slowly but surely, they kind of like start pulling themselves back away from everybody.
Yeah, and a lot of people take that as ghosting, but it's not. That's why I always check in on people, even if it's just sending a simple message saying, hey, I hope all is well, right? It's those little things.
The little things do matter when it comes to checking on someone's mental health. So I want to move in a little bit of a different direction.
Yeah.
Obviously, you told me that you still deal with depression regularly. But I remember we were talking about how you touched on a little bit about your first experience, but can you, like, the most recent experience, what you feel like that you just want to give up, man? Like,
that would have been May when I had my last overdose. I haven't had that feeling
May of then. This year, 2018.
Yes, near the end of May.
Like, what exactly, like, what led you to feel like, you know, he couldn't handle it anymore, man? Like, you just felt overwhelmed. Like, what was going on with you at that time that make you feel that way?
That I couldn't combat depression. It was beating the shit out of me, basically. That this was going to be a lifetime thing, and no matter how, because I gave it my all those 3 months when I was in the hospital, and I was still off when I got out. And just like, so I did all that, and I still feel like this. But then when I was in the hospital, something just flicked in me, like lit. I just woke up one morning and was like, this is enough. I realized, like, I'm choosing to live still, right? And the strongest people, and if you ask me, people choosing to live right now, they're the strongest people and most courageous, and they need to give themselves some credit.
You are definitely one of the stronger people, Justin, because for you to be able to just come on here and be able to have this conversation just shows how strong you are. And strength is not measured just by how much weight you can lift, man. It's measured by your ability to understand yourself as a person and share your story with others.
Oh, I love sharing my story because everyone else just opens up and everyone relates to it in some sense. It resonates. Everybody's going through something.
Everybody's fighting an internal battle, whether they know it or not. Some people, like I told you a few minutes ago, I was ignorant to the fact that I was dealing with like really bad anxiety attacks. I had no idea what that shit was. I'd be driving in the car and just my hands would get real sweaty and my heart would start beating fast. And I used to think I was like about to have a fucking heart attack or something like that. I know I was having an anxiety attack, you know, earlier this year, I felt like I told you I would be out with somebody or out with friends. It's just like, things weren't as enjoyable as they're supposed to be to me, man. You know, things just weren't what they were to me. And I had no idea why I was feeling like that. So, we have a lot of good statements going on in the chat room. Someone asked, do you prefer a female or a male therapist? For me personally, I prefer a therapist that's actually willing to put in the work to get to know me as a person and get to remember me and the things I tell them. I don't give a fuck if you're a male or a female. That's not important to me. What's important to me is your ability to seem like you're fucking interested in what I'm telling you, because I'm opening up myself, making myself vulnerable to you, and you could at least have the damn decency to act like you give a fuck about what I'm saying. Because I had a therapist, like I said earlier, that didn't even seem like they gave a shit about what I was saying to him. I just want you to at least act like you fucking care. That's all. I don't care if you're male or female, me personally.
See, that's a hard one for a lot of people, because when I was going to AA, the first thing they say is to find a male sponsor if you're a male and female if you're female, right? Because you're vulnerable, right? You don't know what And you don't know what, like, if you've been abused or that, it's hard for you to open up to a man or female, depending on what sex you are.
It's very hard to open up to people, man. It's like you said, it doesn't matter what sex you are. That's why I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter the sex of the therapist. It doesn't matter if they're male or female. They're still a person at the end of the day. But it's, and you having this, sometimes you're insecure about how you're feeling because the way you were raised and the environment you grew up in, you're supposed to feel strong. You're not supposed to feel that way. You're not supposed to express yourself. Oh, that's a sign of weakness for you to deal with some shit that's normal. You know, that's weak for you to feel like you are sad because of this. You need to have strength. It doesn't matter. Stacy says, speaking only for me, depression, anxiety never are cured, but are managed. In my case, I've dealt with each for over 35 years. So happy we all have better resources available now. She's 100% correct. There's a lot of resources out there for everybody. If you really want help, if you really feel like you're alone,
if you want
help is definitely 100% there. People don't have no excuses to sit around and be sad and act like they're alone and there's nobody there that cares about them. That's not fucking true at all. If you feel like your family or friends aren't there and they don't care about you, there are people out there that are dealing with the same exact battles you are dealing with.
Like, there are people right now waiting out there for whoever it is to reach out. And they're waiting with their arms open, waiting to love them until they can love themselves again. That's what I've learned. Like, once I started putting that first foot forward, all these doors started opening up for me. People started coming into my life, and it's just, and you attract what you put your energy to, right? If you know suffering, that's all you want. It's an addiction to self-pity.
Yes, sir. That's 100% true. If you want to just sit around and be sad, then that's, like you said, that's what you're going to attract. Me, like I told you earlier, man, I had a feeling of just like whatever about my show, you know. It's like earlier, for some reason, I had like a feeling of just like a weight, just like, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, we'll get through it. And like I told you, man, I fought through that shit. I was like, no, it's not going to just be a show. Like, this is going to be, I had to fire myself up about it. I don't want to just feel blah about anything that's ever going on in my life. I want to be excited, and I want to be fired up about it because tomorrow's not promised to anybody, and I'm very, very grateful to be alive today because not everybody can say that. That's the key. Sorry, man. What'd you say?
Go ahead. I was going to touch on being grateful. That's a huge part of my recovery. Just being grateful every day. Even if you don't believe it, it's a thing of repetition. If you keep telling yourself, it's going to feel the subconscious. And once that's gone, you're good. Like, I'm grateful at the end of every day. Even if it was a shit day, there was still something good in it that I can bring to tomorrow.
As long as somebody has a feeling of being worth something. Like, if you have a feeling of worthlessness, that's where the depression and anxiety comes in. Because you feel like people don't care about you. You don't mean anything to them. And I was reading something earlier that said people that lose loved ones, it is the holiday season. So around the holiday season, some people lose loved ones around this time. You know, aunts, uncles, parents, siblings, and they always get sad. And it's like, it's hard for a lot of people to get through it. It really is, man. 3 years ago from last month, I lost my aunt. And how I feel about it, every time we have family get-togethers, they don't feel like they're the fucking same, man. Like, they never will feel like they're the same since she's been gone. And I get what people mean when they say we losing a loved one is really, you know, it really takes a toll on you, man. Like, even if you understand, like, it was their time, but still, like, it does take a toll on you, and it takes a toll on your family. CB fan says suicide goes up during the holidays. Dan says today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. They should put down a t-shirt. Frankie Myers says feeling worthless is really hard. I have really bad self-esteem and dealing with feeling worthless is definitely a struggle. Well, yeah, we all have those days, man, when we feel like, you know, just like I told, like literally today, earlier today, man, I feel like just a feeling is just whatever. We know what people that have dealt with depression know what that feeling is, man. It's like you don't feel like doing anything. You know, it's just a feeling of just, oh, does this matter? Should I do this? Or, you know, it's just like, eh, whatever. It's like a blah feeling, like a numb feeling, man, that you really get. And it's, I can't let it, man. It's like a hopelessness. Or it was all of a sudden like a sadness. I just couldn't let that shit sit inside me, man. I really couldn't.
So being proactive is remembering you still have a choice. Even if it's going against every fiber of depression or your anxiety, you still have a choice to do the opposite of what it's telling you to do.
Now, granted, there's certain times where suicide becomes thoughts for people. Like, say if they're diagnosed with a serious medical condition and they feel like they're going to die anyway, man. And, man, this...
That's a tough one.
People that are growing up and that they're bullied their whole life, they become isolated. They feel like they'll never be able to have friends. They have those kind of thoughts, man. That you said you touched on substance abuse. People, oh man,
everything you're touching on, I faced.
Incarceration.
That's one thing I'm grateful I haven't been. I should have been, but...
We, man, come on, man. You live in Canada. You guys don't break no laws up there in Canada.
No, we just apologize.
You guys just apologize and have free health care. Come on. We know the truth about up there.
That's another thing I'm grateful for. The health care. As shitty as it is, yeah.
I tell you what, man. It must be nice because in the United States, man, ain't shit free. At all. Basically, I think they're going to start taxing us to fucking breathe sooner than later.
The only thing I had to pay for was the ambulance ride, which is like $40.
Oh. $40, wow. I got people in the chat room talking about Trey, right? the higher risk for suicide is in men than women.
Oh, you'd be surprised. There was more men in the hospital than women when I was there.
Did you get a chance to have any conversations with these people? Like you just saw them, or like I don't, like when you say hospital, is it like you were intense inpatient treatment centers?
Oh, I was in the psych ward for 3 months. And yeah, like I was formed and everything.
But you said something earlier about some people like they were acting like it for attention. What would be something that would give it away for you to let you know someone wasn't like actually in there for real?
They just, a lot of them there are there for the drugs too. That's what I noticed. Oh, you can tell just by people's demeanors and how they carry themselves that it's not serious to them. They're always joking around and they're not really going through anything.
They're just in there just for the drugs, huh? Besides that.
Or like a place to stay, right?
Yeah. So kind of like how some people treat jail, you know, like in the, God forbid, if you.
Yeah, and like once you're institutionalized, that's it. That's all you know.
I mean, God forbid you live somewhere like, you know, in Chicago, it gets cold as shit. I know some days last year when it felt like it was -4 outside, you know, you want somewhere to live, right? They fake like they like steal something out of a store or some shit like that, so they go to jail for a few months. Just so they can have somewhere to live if they're homeless. But faking like something's going on with you. That's how the stigma is created by people saying ain't nothing wrong with you. You're just faking, because people do fake like there's something going on with them, just for attention, or just to get drugs, like you just said. But when someone seriously has something going on with them, people create the notion that they're just acting like it, or ain't nothing ever been wrong with you before. Why is something wrong with you now?
There's nothing that was wrong before because they didn't shut up and listen to the person when there was other signs.
Again, man, like I said, I'm really grateful that you decided to come on, because you are really laying it out there for sure.
I appreciate you having me.
My good friend and a producer, super producer, the Barris Barroom, Aldo, says, if you ever think about giving up, remember why you held on for so long. It's a quote from Haley Williams. My boy Dan says, I've been dealing with some issues myself and got to the place where I hated the person I saw in the mirror. Since I started working out again and getting my health back in order, I started getting more confidence and learning to love myself. I'm not where I want to be, but the journey is what's bringing me more joy, not the result. The journey is what's bringing me more joy and not the result. I tell people all the time, if you have to set goals in your life, man, that's another way I combat depression myself personally. I set goals in my life, and with those goals, that gives me something to strive for. And getting closer to those goals, I get that feeling of accomplishment. I don't have time to have a feeling of numbness or have a feeling of being sad for myself or a feeling of just existing. I work hard towards those goals, and by me doing that, it keeps that away. It keeps a lid on it. Like I said, I keep the lid on anxiety. I keep a lid on all those feelings by working towards something. I set goals for myself, physical goals, mental goals. Every day I try to if I can't go to the gym, I try to read a book. You know, I try to do something better myself every day. That way, like you said, you like to, even a simple thing like making up your bed every day is a good way to combat it.
And like I learned to tell myself to have fun with it. Have fun with your recovery. Have fun with your depression. You can't always look at it as negative. It gives you like the possibility it gives you. Like the darkness you see that a lot of people will never see. I find it gave me a heightened sense of self.
What do you mean by that, a heightened sense of self?
How can I elaborate on that?
Huh. Just say whatever comes to mind. That's the best way to elaborate. Like self-awareness about yourself, like things that you want to change.
Yeah, and knowing like I got a hold on it, like I can have a hold on it. Like if I'm still here and I'm still fighting, and I keep putting that first step forward, I know I'll never go back to the same darkness I once saw, because I won't allow myself.
I know it's another thing that people, the money is the root of all evil, either having it or not having it. So people that are dealing with financial issues tend to be the ones to also, you know, take their lives. You could cut on like certain movies or TV shows, or even cartoons. I was watching a damn Superman cartoon, and a guy that had got laid off a job was trying to jump off a building, and Superman saved his life. Even the very first Incredibles movie, man, they had somebody trying to jump off a building, and Mr. Incredible saved him, but he ended up injuring the guy after he saved him, and the guy ended up suing him. So, and they try to make a joke about it, but financial issues can't be a reason why people decide that there's no point in them being alive anymore. The lack of money, or feeling like they will never be able to support their family, or they won't be able to buy things that they feel like they should have, and stuff like that. That kind of thing leads towards them not wanting to be alive anymore. Them feeling like that they will never make it to the goals that they want. It's one of those things that they try to make a joke about it with the Hollywood thing, but that could seriously be a reason why people decide to take their own life, because finances. I'm not sure about, you know, your financial situation, Justin. You know, you bought that fancy iPhone.
Yeah. No, mine's not good right now. I've lost everything I worked for because of drugs, but that's a whole nother story I don't want to get into. That's a whole nother topic. But I realized none of that really matters in the end because I've had it all and I still wasn't happy.
That's why I said money is root to all evil. I said in the beginning, having it or not having it, because people that are rich sometimes do feel depression because they feel like there's a lot of pressure. Like celebrities feel like there's a lot of pressure on them. They have to live up to a certain standard. They always have the limelight on them. People are always looking at them, and that pressure becomes overwhelming to them. For you to say that you had it all and you lost it, but for you to still be here and know what it's like to have it and know what it's like not to have it but still be here speaks volumes to how strong you are as a person, because sometimes people that do lose it all do feel like there's no purpose to them being alive anymore.
I found my purpose is sharing my story. If it wasn't for other people sharing theirs prior to me, and me coming across them, I probably wouldn't have kept fighting. So having the chance to be the light to someone's darkness, like so many were the light to mine, I'm just so grateful for.
I'm grateful as well, man, because your story is very powerful, for sure. The chat room is really... they're fired up. Stacy says, everyone should set goals no matter what size they are. If you don't try anything, you can't fail, but you can't move forward and achieve. Our society places a lot of pressure to keep up with the Kardashians. You have to focus on love and not the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is just pieces of paper with dead president pictures on it. that's literally what money is. I'm not sure what's Canadian money look like, man. Who do you guys have on you guys' money?
Monopoly money.
He says what? That's very colorful.
Very colorful.
Yeah, very ours colorful. Got a bunch of old dead presidents on it. So, and it's all green.
We got the queen on ours.
Nice. We have a bunch of old dead slave owners. But anyway, moving right along from that. So a lot of people like they mask their feelings with dark humor. I remember you brought that up in the discussion. I want you to give me an example of like some type of dark humor that you would hear from someone who has something actually seriously going on with them.
There's two different types of dark humors for me. I probably still wouldn't be here if it wasn't the last time I got apprehended and my life started to change. I spent like 12 hours sleeping on the ground with this girl who was in handcuffs. She was full of blood. She got hit by a car or something. She jumped in front of it. And all we did was laugh all night. And it was the darkest humor. I'm not going to repeat anything. But if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have kept pushing through. But then there's the other dark humor where people like glamorize it. Like it's a joke. It's not serious. And that's what I hate. Like all the memes out there and people self-diagnosing because of some fucking meme.
I've seen a meme just yesterday, not to cut you off. It was a meme of someone saying they went to see a doctor and they told the doctor they were depressed and they said, you should work out for your depression. And then they showed a picture of somebody jumping rope with tears. And that shouldn't have been funny to me. I laugh, but it shouldn't be funny.
No, yeah. Because I feel like shit like that's doing more harm than good to the people suffering.
Yeah, it is. Because I know from conversations, like not me and you've had conversations, but conversations I had with other people that reached out to me, conversations in the chat room, conversations on anywhere that this is a serious issue. But for them to go ahead and try to spin it into the dark humor, that's dark humor to me. You know, your doctor tells you you need to start being more active and more fit and exercising to help you out with your depression, and this motherfucker posts a picture of somebody jumping rope with tears. Just like fucking tears form like a rope and they're like jumping with it.
It's a very toxic coping mechanism too.
It seems like it. So in the chat room, Lovely K says, great topic because depression is really real. The most popular you think they have it all are going through depression. No part of money can make the pain or anxiety go away. Opening it up seems like you're letting people down, but sometimes that's the only way to help yourself or others. That's exactly how I feel.
You're not letting anyone down.
You're being brave and you're understanding an issue that you have going on with yourself for you to be able to come out and say that, hey, you know what? I know I'm dealing with this and I'm going to work towards being able to put a lid on it.
Like, the most courageous thing someone can do is ask for help, if you ask me. Because that shit is not easy. I still have trouble asking for help after everything, after everyone that knows what I've been through. I still won't go to people and be like, yo, this is what I'm fucking facing today.
So, she also says, Lovely K, there are wounds that never show on the body that are deeper and more hurtful than anything that bleeds. God damn, that's so fucking true. Aldo gives a list of celebrities that have passed away because they were dealing with something. They took their own lives. We have Robin Williams, Marilyn Monroe, Kurt Cobain. Robin Williams, there was a quote about why, you know, him making people laugh. It's like people that are dealing with depression and stuff like that, they usually have a good sense of humor. And the reason why they work so hard towards making people laugh is because they know what it feels like to be sad. They don't want nobody to feel the same way that they feel.
Yeah.
And that's something that sticks. That's literally been on my mind. Like, I've thought about that, what he said this morning. And it's ironic. Like, he brought him up because that's been on my mind. Robin Williams was hilarious, man. And it's like, shit, you know? You never know what kind of battle somebody's fighting, man. You think everyone's smiling and they're happy, but internally that they're slowly eating away at themselves internally, and you would never know. You never know what someone's going through. Oh man, Julia says, "Do not judge your neighbor until you've walked two moons in his moccasins." We like to say walk a mile in their shoes, but I guess that works as well. Yeah.
Same thing.
Look to the old. They're worthy of old age. They have seen their days and proven themselves with the help of the great spirit. They have attained a ripe old age. At that age, the old can predict or give knowledge or wisdom. Whatever it is so. The suicide rate in Japan, highest in the last 30 years. Why is that? Society's pressure. Hell, I didn't know that about Japan. That's interesting.
Even Western society, man, with social media, we all paint pictures and we start believing them.
Yeah, we had that. We actually had that conversation a couple weeks ago. We're talking about how social media makes people think that they're supposed to live a certain way and have a certain grip on life already just because someone else has this success in their life. They think that that's how their life's supposed to be because they see someone else the same age as them living a certain way and having a certain thing and traveling and all that stuff.
And I read somewhere social media and the overexposure that we get in one single day, that we have more pain in a single day than we would have over a lifetime compared to other lifetimes in one day.
That's insane, man. That's crazy to think about. Telling the depressed person to be happy is the same as telling a cancer patient to cure themselves. Amen to that. Because it's not that simple just to be like, hey, you need to be happy because this, and this. How about you?
It's not even about being happy when it comes down to it. It's about finding that inner peace. Like, happy. I hate the word happy.
Well, I want to, like, that's why you have to have a conversation with someone and get to know what's on their mind. Like, learn what's bothering them. You can't just tell somebody just to be happy. You don't know what the fuck, what's going on with them when you just tell them that. Maybe they can't just be happy.
It's funny because everyone knows what's good for the next person, but meanwhile, they can't even deal with their own shit they're sitting in.
Man. Man. Whew, Justin, we're at the 55-minute mark, man. I know we could probably keep going. I know you can. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you, if you have any last words to share with the people. The chat room's going off. Something cancer is caused by self-hatred manifesting in physical form. Stacy says, just be happy is the absolute worst thing to be told. Lovely K says, social media will destroy you in so many ways. Social media is definitely a joke. Who really posts their downfalls? Nobody does. That's why we say we only see the 5%, you know, not the 95%. I think, yes, they're talking about the suicide rate in South Korea now and Japan. The worst was being told as a teen, these are the best years of your life. No, that's definitely true, because when you're a teenager, you can't really even do shit. You can't even buy a bottle of liquor yet. I'm kidding. Kidding. You know, drink responsibly, guys. Don't drink to kill your sadness. Now, like I was saying, Justin, any last words that you want to share with the people?
Yeah. There's people, anyone going through it, just keep pushing. You're the reason I'm still here and sharing my story. You're the only one that matters in this topic, not me, not Trey. It's you. We're talking for you. I never thought my voice would fucking matter, but here I am. And your voice is more important than mine. So share your story. Do your therapy. Get on your meds. Whatever you have to fucking do. And like Kendrick said, when are we going to understand we were put on this earth to love? That's it. And kindness matters. Be nice to the fucking stranger in line or the person making your coffee.
It costs $0 to be a good person. Zero.
No, and you feel better doing it. Seeing someone smile.
You are. Man, it's like you can make someone's fucking day, man, just by smiling at them and saying hi. You know, holding the door for someone. Like, you know, giving someone a simple compliment, man. Like this, it costs $0 to be a good person. That shit could change somebody's whole fucking week just by a stranger doing a kind deed for them. That's why I always, when an opportunity arises for me to be able to do something for somebody, I do it, because I don't want to. There's no way that I'll ever want to be in a situation where I need someone and I feel like that they're not able to help me out. The chat room is saying it's a great show. They said thank you, Justin, for coming on. Man, they really enjoyed it, man. They, like I said, man, thank you for coming on, taking time out of your day just to have a conversation with me, man. Just to give people a little bit of information that they probably wouldn't have got from anywhere else, because they probably would have just listened to some fluff ass shit on TV or something like that, or some bullshit ass or like shit on the radio. You know, oh, everybody hold hands and be happy. It's not that fucking simple, man. I'm sorry, it's the end of the show. I shouldn't get fired up like that. My bad. Yeah, thank you for coming on, man. For sure.
Not a problem. I just want to say,
go ahead.
Last thing, you're never going to have a better fast, but you for sure can fucking have a better future. And you can create it. Just learn to forgive yourself first. That's it. Thank you for having me, brother. Sending all the love to anyone who feels alone right now. I'm always open to talk to anyone. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are.
Man, that last quote, man, I'm posting this out of the chat room right now. Because you'll never have a better past, but you can have a better future.
That's it. You just got to envision it and start taking the steps to create it.
Hopefully people get that embedded in their mind. I want them to think about that, because a lot of people do deal with depression because of something that happened in their past, or they have anxiety because something that they feel like they can't fix about themselves.
It's forgiving yourself. That's the biggest tool you can have and learn. Don't forgive for other people. Forgive for you.
Hey, man. Well, like you said, man, I appreciate you for coming on. I appreciate everybody for listening. Next week we won't be live. Me and Aldo discussed it. We're gonna put out something special for you guys. So hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, if not, then that's cool too. Talk to you guys in a couple weeks.